Okay, if you would please open your Bibles to the book of 2 Timothy. Today's message is about a world without God. Have you ever wondered what this world would be like if there was no God? What would the world look like if there was no God? Think about this. I mean, if there was no God, we'd be living in a world where there are no boundaries between right and wrong, and everybody would be able to do whatever is right in their own eyes. And they would live in a world of situational morals and ethics, and where truth is all relative. There are no absolute truths if there is no God. Right? A world without God would have no rules. There'd be no right. There'd be no wrong. The things you consider good, others would consider bad. And the things you consider bad, other people would say is good. So, in a world without God, there would be violence everywhere, oozing from, you know, seemingly every pore. Free sex would run amok, and the expression of public prayer and faith would be viewed with the same kind of distaste that profanity used to be met with. Now, profanity is everywhere. I was sitting out on the porch the other evening, and there were a bunch of kids coming down the alley, and you could have heard, oh my goodness, the words that they were using. Stuff I would never say. And I thought, oh boy, those young boys need to get their mouth washed out with soap. I'm telling you right now, when I was that age, I was a connoisseur of the finest tasting soaps in America. And as these people came to the end of the alley, I recognized that they weren't boys at all. They were girls. And I'm thinking, my goodness, back when I was that age, if you said a bad word in the presence of a female, you excused yourself. Don't have to anymore. Because the language they use is just as bad. How many of you have ever heard the name Larry Jean Ashcroft? Nobody's heard of him. I kind of wonder why. Because at the age of 47, Larry Jean Ashcroft, on a Wednesday night, this was a couple years ago, on a Wednesday night, he packed himself up with some guns, and he went to a church in Fort Worth, Texas, and he walked into a Wednesday night prayer meeting, and he began spouting anti-Christian stuff as he pulled out his guns and began to fire. By the end of the evening, 7 of the churchgoers were dead, and so was Larry Jean Ashcroft. So, my question is, why haven't you ever heard of him? Are you just people that don't look at the news? No, you watch the news, right? Don't you watch CNN, NBC, ABC, CBS, MSNBC, and Fox News and all that? Don't you watch news? How many of you are smart enough not to watch the news? I mean, it's so full of bad news. Who wants to hear the news? Well, as usual, the people on TV began to talk about things that we need to do to stop such violence. And they began proposing the usual, you know, Band-Aid style remedies that would outlaw guns, as stupid as that is. They began to spout their ideas that you need to pass more laws. And if you pass more laws, somehow, if you have enough laws, it's going to make people moral. Did you know you can't make people moral by laws? You can't law people into ethics and morality. And everybody thinks you can. I wonder where the hate crime police were. Because the hate crime police didn't come. I kind of wonder where the hate crime police were. Because, you know, either Jesse Jackson or Al Sharpton or any of these guys that love cameras showed up to talk about the hate crimes they were committed that evening. Why do you think that is? Why didn't the hate crime police show up? I can tell you why. It's because it happened in a suburban, evangelical, Christian church full of people that are not part of the protected
special interest groups in America. We Christians are the hate groups now. That's what the people on TV tell us, that we are the hate groups. Why? Because we live in a world where God is being taken further and further and further out of sight. I watched the news that night, and did you know that Dan Rather, yeah, this is way back when Dan Rather was doing the news, gave it 45 seconds. 45 seconds. And that was all you heard of it. It wasn't on the news anymore after that. You never heard mention of it again. Why? Why do you think that is? Why did it show up on page 11 of the Philadelphia Daily News and not on page 1? Why do you think? We need to think about these things. Are we living in a world without God? I don't think we're living in a world without God yet. But we're getting awfully close. You see, I believe there are answers that can be found for our day and age in the Word of God. I believe that the Bible is the Word of God. And I believe that we find answers for our time in the Word of God. So we need to talk about the Word of God. So please open your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 4. As soon as you have it, say, I got it. This is Paul writing. He says, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And verse 5 really scares me. Because it says they will have a form of godliness but deny its power, have nothing to do with such people. How can anybody be without love, ungrateful, unholy, slanderous, without self-control, all this kind of stuff, and believe they have a form of godliness? Doesn't make sense to me. Does that make sense to you? I look at this list and I say, okay, wait a minute. They will be boastful. They'll love money. They'll love themselves. They'll be proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents. My goodness, when do you think that's going to start? I was reading something written by a very famous individual, and he said words basically, what is wrong with kids today? They don't obey their parents anymore. If I did the kind of stuff kids do today, I'd be in trouble. Who do you think the famous person was that wrote those words? Aristotle. Yeah, Aristotle. You think kids have been a problem just today? No, kids have been a problem for a long time. You were one of those. The first point I want to make this morning is this, that if God only lives in the minds of some, but not in the hearts of all, then why treat others with dignity? If God only lives in the minds of some, but not the hearts of all, why should we treat people with dignity? God has been relegated, folks, to a very sad position in our country. He no longer lives in the heart of what was once the greatest missionary exporting country in the history of mankind. At one point, the United States of America was the greatest missionary exporting country in the history of the world. Now, we are receiving more missionaries than any other country in the world. People are sending missionaries to the United States to try to convert us to Christianity. What is wrong with that picture? Blows the mind. God merely lives in the minds of those who love Him, and we are a minority. Since this is true, and since the country believes and the world believes that there is no ultimate judge, then there can be no moral law or no moral absolutes. And people will look at you and say, well, that's your opinion. That's your conviction. Yeah, you might believe that there's a God. Well, that's you. I don't have to believe that. If God is irrelevant or dead, why should we concern ourselves with morals? If we believe that there is no God or that God is dead, why should we concern ourselves with right and wrong? Oprah Winfrey asked the question some time ago, who created God? Because she believes that we did. There is a man who is a philosophy professor over at Princeton University, that great bastion of all that is good and conservative. I'm kidding. A man by the name of Peter Singer. He is a professor of philosophy at in Princeton. And he believes that the concept of human life as being sacred is an outmoded and old-fashioned idea, and he would like to do away with it. This is a man teaching philosophy at Princeton. Did you know how Princeton University came into existence? It was founded by the church. And now Princeton University is saying that belief in God, morals, and ethics should be done away with because it's outmoded and old-fashioned. I'm sure that Mr. Singer is quite proud of his great disciple, Larry Jean Ashcroft, because he obviously did not believe that human life was sacred either. What happens, folks, when people are taught that life is cheap? What happens when people are taught that people really aren't humans? They're just an elevated form of animal. Ask Seth. Last year in his classes, he was taught that there are many classes of hominids in the world. Chimpanzees, orangutans, apes, and humans. We're not to be called humans anymore. We're to be called hominids. Yeah. My, you look like a very handsome group of hominids today. I would never do that. I would never devalue human life. I'm a believer. I would never do such a thing, right? When was the last time you referred to a baby as a fetus? Why do we call babies fetuses? Because we are devaluing human life. That's not a fetus. It's a baby. And it's not a baby baby. It's a little human. Okay? I believe in the sanctity of human life. And if I hear you use the term fetus around me, you're going to see me do this. That's trouble, folks, when I do this. That's trouble. If life is cheap and only one life matters, guess who that life is? If I believe that life is cheap and only one life really matters, whose life is that? Mine. And if my life is the only one that matters, guess what that means about you? Too bad. You see, if God only lives in the minds of some and not the hearts of all, we're lost. We're in big trouble. If only one person in my life matters to me, then verse 2 through 4 is how I'm going to live my life. You see that? What? How will I live my life? Well, I will be lovers of myself. I'll be lover of money. I'll be proud, boastful, abusive, disobedient to my parents, if they were still alive, except for one. Ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous. Yeah, that'll be me. That is how I live my life if I believe there is no moral authority in the world. But I believe that God is. And I want to thank you, Jesus, that God lives in my heart in the form of Jesus Christ. Point number two is that when the moral dam breaks, a flood of evil is unleashed. There was a man some years ago that was the governor of the state of Texas. He became our president. And while he was still the governor of the state of Texas, he was greatly under fire for a comment that he made. And the comment he made was that, and I quote, that there seems to be a wave of evil passing through America. And he came under fire. The media didn't like what he said about that, because we all want to believe that we as a society are getting better and better, and we're evolving as a society. Do you think we're evolving as a society or devolving? You see, the moral dam that once held most of the evil back in our world has been released. And now the things that we used to call good are called evil, and those that we used to call evil are now called good. And the Bible even talks about this. Back in the Old Testament, it says, "Woe to them who call good evil and evil good." And that's where we're living right now. The result is that we're living in a world where we're drowning in a flash flood of evil and immorality. How do you handle it when this kind of stuff happens? If you're a good American, you run to the government and you demand more laws. I want more laws. And if we get more laws, we can patch up all this bad stuff. You know, we're like the little Dutch boy putting his finger in a hole in the dam. I'm going to plug that hole. Pretty soon, folks, guess what you run out of? Digits. Because, folks, let me tell you a story. How many of you remember Super Soakers? If you remember, it's because you probably had one. And you probably got into trouble with them, didn't you? A few years ago, there was a group of kids that were bicycling down the street in New York City, which is not easy to do, by the way. But as they were bicycling down the street in New York City, they saw a group of men standing on a corner, and they pulled out their Super Soakers and they hosed them on the way by. They didn't realize that these fellows were doing a drug deal and they had guns. And the men opened up on the boys and killed them. So the great government leaders in the city of New York immediately leapt into action and outlawed Super Soakers. That fixes the problem, doesn't it? You see, because if we pass enough laws, we can make the world safe and moral, right? No. When evil prospers, good suffers. Look at verses 12 and 13. It says, "In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ will be persecuted, while evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived." You see, when evil prospers, good suffers. And we can expect, folks, as time goes on, to find increasing levels of persecution aimed at the Christians. Not exactly what you want to hear on Sunday morning, right? You're thinking, man, I was kind of hoping today to come to church and get uplifted and encouraged. Right? Well, that's what point three is, so hold tight. Point number three is this. What do we do in a world without God? Well, verse 14. "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." Folks, if we're going to live in this world that we live in, number one, the first thing we must do is we must continue in what we have learned. Do you know Jesus? Have you been taught some Bible? Continue in what you have learned about Jesus. Continue in what you have learned from the world of God, from the Word of God, world of God, Word of God. Continue in that. Now, some of you are saying, yeah, but I haven't learned an awful lot about Him yet. I'm kind of young as a believer. Well, guess what? There's plenty of opportunities for you to learn. Bible study Wednesday nights. We have two classes on Bible studies on Wednesday nights. Right now we're doing one. But we'll have two. And we have got Sunday school classes for whatever your experience in Christ is. Whether you're a mature believer or a new believer, we've got stuff for you too. Learn what you can while you can. Amen? So, Wednesday nights, Sunday school, two classes Sunday mornings. Please, try it. You're going to like it. I promise. But you see, the word that we see translated here when he says, "continue in what you're doing," actually can't be translated,
do not swerve from. Matter of fact, the Greek that's used there actually means that. Don't swerve from it. So when he says, continue in what you have learned, what he means is, but as for you, do not swerve away from what you've learned. Stay steadfast in the truth. Stick with the truth. Remain unswerving. Our role, folks, as children of God in the world that we live in, is to remain faithful to the truths of Scripture, and that means that we need to live what we believe. Praise God. That means that we'll all live sinless lives. Well, maybe some of you. Does that mean we're going to live sinless lives? What does it mean? It means we live the truth as best we are able, and then we pray to God for the grace and the strength we need to do better. And when we mess up, what should we do? No, we should hide it. And we should blame people. Because 91.4% of all Americans are victims of something. That's true. 91.4% of Americans believe that they have been victimized by something. How many of you are a victim of something like bad potty training? Oh, no, I'm not that, but I had somebody steal something from me once. I had somebody call me a bad name once. We're a nation of victims. But when we do mess up, what should we do? I'm not to blame. I'm a victim. No, we need to own up to it, ask forgiveness for it, do better, and publicly live our faith, and publicly live a repenting life. You are going to make more friends as a Christian if you are authentic and people see you making victory over the struggles in your life than if you walk around pretending to be perfect. Amen? All the unperfect people say amen loud. No, you weren't listening. I said say amen loud. Amen loud. No, amen loud. Okay, some of you are listening. But I had to tell you like three times. Man, I'd like to go to the pastor of the church and say, man, you got your work cut out for you, but I can't do that. We need to continue in what we have learned. Number two, we must teach our children what we have been taught in order to bring them to salvation. If you have been entrusted with children, it's your job to bring your children to Jesus. When I have parents telling me, well, you know, your faith is a deeply personal conviction, and so I am going to let my child make up his or her own mind and what they want to believe. You know what I tell them? Well, go ahead. If you don't tell them what you believe, there's a whole world out there full of anti-Christian nonsense, and they're going to tell them what to believe. Pretty soon your children will be calling you a hominid and calling babies fetuses. I read an article in the local news the other day. They were talking about the heritage in the area, and they used the term, this happened in whatever year it was, CE. CE means common era. That's what they use now instead of AD. Because if it's AD, it's Anno Domini, which means after Christ died. So let's take him out of it and make a new term. CE, and before Christ is what? BCE, before the common era. The world is removing the Lord from view. We must keep the Lord in view to our children. If you have children, grandchildren, nieces or nephews, you may be Jesus in their life, and the only Jesus in their life. And we need to take Jesus to our kids. And that requires time. It requires effort. It takes honesty and consistency. You see, the Word of God is a roadmap. It's a roadmap for all who are willing to submit to it. And if you are willing to submit to it, that means you are going to teach it to your loved ones.
Do you have children? They're your congregation. Hear what I just said? They need to know what you know. Yeah, it'd be good. Bring them in here, and we'll teach them what we know too. In so doing, we equip ourselves and others to do the work of God. We must live the truth. That is, don't swerve from what we've been taught in these last days. Number two, give your faith away to your kids, your grandkids, your nieces, your nephews, whomever the Lord is able to put in your path. Give your faith away to them. Modern man says there is no evil because there is no God. And if there is no God, we may do whatever it is that we please. We live in a day where once these things were called evil are now called good. And the things that we called good are now evil in the minds of some. When people see a believer expressing any kind of faith publicly, we're greeted with the same kind of looks that profanity used to be greeted with. There have been times that my wife and I have been out to eat somewhere, and we always pray before we eat, even in public. How many times have people come to us and said, "Hey, I saw you praying. Thank you for praying before you ate." It happens. People will notice you if you live your faith out in public. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Oh, it's good, even though the people may not like it. If we profess Christ before men, we will be professed before God. And if we deny Christ before men, well, God have mercy. Let us remain faithful to what we have learned. Amen? Let's give our faith to our kids. Even in the face of persecution, we should remain faithful by the grace of God. Let's pray. Father, the days that we live in are greatly challenging. But even with that, Father, we know that there is one who suffered even greater than we ever will. And he gave his life for us so that if we believe on him, we would not perish, but that we would have everlasting life. Dear God, help us to live for Jesus. Father, help us to speak about Jesus. Lord, the Peter Singers of this world would have us believe that belief in you and following you is an outmoded, old-fashioned, and out-of-time thing. But you, O God, give us the grace and the strength to do that. We pray, dear God, that in this world that we live in, that you would help us to walk in the marvelous light of Christ. And as we do, dear God, we ask for your strength, we ask for your grace, and we ask you to help us walk the walk with a heart full of love, and I mean love, dear God. Not love as the world knows it, but Father, love as you give it. For it's in Jesus' name that we ask. Amen.